if I could take a few moments as we begin this morning. I was woken up fairly early, at least sun hadn't come up yet, so I don't really know what time it was. And I was just thinking about the word from last night. Many times the word for me is what I hear myself saying, I didn't think about it beforehand. And so after it's said, I those certain thoughts will come back and I'll begin to think about them. And one of the things I realized with respect to the story of Esther, one of the things that is written there, but not written, I don't know if you know what I mean, is that she had no self-interest. She had no self-interest. And there was something that, I took the liberty to put something up here. I like the tabernacle in that it can be used in multiple dimensions. You know, the three parts. We can look at it in one form and see. You can see Jacob as outer court, holy places, Jerusalem, or Israel, and then Holy of Holies is Zion. But in this case, what you have is outer court symbolizes the entire thing as the church. And the holy place, or the sanctuary itself, symbolizes the body of Christ. Of course, the Holy of Holies within the sanctuary signifies sonship. The sanctuary itself is something that is focal point. Should be focal point for us as a believer, is that we want to obtain, obtain to that status of experience and reality, becoming part of the body of Christ. Because when you look in John chapter 3, verse 3, talks about being born again as the qualification to what? Seeing the kingdom of God. So the ability to see the kingdom of God is conditional on whether or not we have received Christ as Savior. And once we receive Christ as Savior, we begin to see the kingdom of God. So in effect, the gate, coming through the gate, is the experience that creates for us the capacity to see the kingdom of God. But when you look at verse 5 in the same chapter, John chapter 3, verse 5, it says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. And That is the purpose of the door, as represented here in the sanctuary, is that is the entry point of entering the kingdom of God. But there are prerequisites. You just can't simply go through the door and say, "Hello, here I am, I've arrived." There are prerequisites. There are requirements, and of course, requirement as far as the function of the sanctuary is found in the principle of the brazen laver in baptisms. Baptism by water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, followed by baptism into Christ. Hallelujah. But the thing that I want to pull out as food for thought for us is that there are two There are two critical elements that without them, the sanctuary could not perform the way it was designed to perform. You can have the boards, you can have the rods, you can have curtains, you know, for the veil, for the door. You can have the furniture that goes inside of it. You can have all of it. But there's two things that are critical to its ability to do what it was designed to do. Hallelujah. One of those things is here on these corners is a golden ring that binds the corners together. Hallelujah. Because when you look here at this back wall, there are six boards across with two additional boards, one in each corner, that signify one corner being that of Jesus Christ. He says he is the chief cornerstone. And the second signifying the sons of God. But the most important part of that is the golden ring, a ring of pure gold that binds the corners together. It ties the back wall with this wall and this wall. You can erect one wall, but you have to stabilize it because it's incomplete. But as soon as you begin to erect the corresponding wall and you continue on around the rectangle, each wall erected further strengthens and creates a stability with respect to the structure. Hallelujah. So what is the golden ring? Very good. The golden ring principally is the love of God. It's the love of God. And I'm not talking about the sloppy, goppy tolerance that is called love of God today, but I'm talking about that agape love of God. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So it being a ring, by the way, this could be your 360 club. I said, by the way, that could be your 360 club. This is an experience he had. Because there's 360 degrees to complete a circle. Circle has no beginning, has no end. So it's talking about the everlasting quality of the love of God. Hallelujah. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13, at the bottom of the chapter, says, "Now abideth these, faith, hope, and agape. But the greatest of these is agape." Hallelujah. So when we consider the love of God, I think of, I can break it down into two applicable, into two forms so that it becomes more applicable to me, right? In the first form, I would say, call it fellowship. Hallelujah. Fellowship is something that goes beyond friendship. It's something that goes beyond, yes, I know you, you know me, we have similar thoughts or feelings. But there's some sort of deep interconnection, not because of similarities between us, but the common bond of the love of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Fellowship. But even more important As you said, Jerry, even more important, as you said, Judy. Marriage. Very good.
I said that you walk in the light.
As he is in the light, we will have fellowship. Excellent. We will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the circulatory element of God, will what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But this one really rings in my heart. Marriage. And at the heart, the core of the marriage, it really comes down to the relationship between the husband and wife. And if I can say that the vibrancy of the church can only be as strong as the relationship is between husband and wife. Follow me? The more the relationship is closer to the divine order that God intended the relationship to be, that is the core of the church. So then goes the health and the vibrancy of the church. Hallelujah. So this is one aspect. I said there were two things that I see as critical that tie this whole building together. One is in these rings, as we see as it being the love of God. The second is in reference to the covering of the tabernacle itself. The integrity of the building is the integrity as the building is being erected. You know, you do the foundation, and that is another message. That's very critical, very important, because as the foundation is, so goes the rest of the building. Hallelujah. But as you begin to erect the walls, what ties all the walls together and finalizes that rigidity and that strength is the roof. Hallelujah. So when we consider the roof, or the covering of the tabernacle, I'm not going to get into the details. There's four layers of it. But principally, what it is talking about is, can you help me spell the word sacrifice?
S-A-C-R-I-F-I-C-E.
Thank you. Sacrifice. Sacrifice on the part of the church. Hallelujah. And see, I think that in essence, if you wanted to put the book of Esther in a nutshell, is that she had no self-interest.
Amen.
One, because of a love that was working within the midst of her, and two, her willingness to sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So, Lord, we just want to commit this day into your hand. As we have come to this final day of conference, Lord, we don't want to wind down or lose energy, as sometimes maybe the tendency is. But Lord, we want to receive the full measure of what it is you would have for us, this your people. So, Father, we just want to commit this morning into your hand. We want to look to you for your governance and your guidance, for the outpouring of your Spirit, Lord God, upon this gathering. So, Father, we just commit it into your hand. We ask that you move with us today in Jesus' name.